good to see you all. It's good to see everyone who's going to come in later into Emmanuel Everywhere Land. I pray that God is continuing to keep you as he's been keeping me. We're going to start off with the praise break like we always do. And this praise break for this week comes from a metaphor for marriage that I saw on yesterday. Friendship of the West Church out of, I believe it's Texas, and the pastors, Dr. Freddie Haynes III, preached a message on yesterday entitled, I've Got Sunshine on a Cloudy Day. Great message. I admonish you to, if you have not heard that message, you can probably find it on YouTube. Go back and watch his message from yesterday. But I was arrested into a praise break on his metaphor that he used. And I pray that it's for somebody, particularly it's probably most ministers to married couples, but I think that it's just a good metaphor in general for those who are married and those who's contemplating marriage. It may be good for you. And I know that Sister April is on her track to getting married. So this may be something great for you, and your timing of being here today must be divine because it may help you and your fiance. Anyway, in his sermon, I've Got a Sunshine on a Cloudy Day, he gives a metaphor that is based on a couple that went canoeing. They went canoeing on the lake in Yellow River, which is in the panhandle of Florida. He gives this example in this message. And in his message, this couple that went canoeing, the day started out beautifully. And then the dark clouds came, and then the rain came, and then the rapids picked up. And the canoe was now hitting logs and rocks. They are in a canoe that is built for two. And it starts out blissful. And then things got dark and rocky along the way. And I began to listen and hear him in the metaphor. And I began to think about, you know, it's been 28 going on 29 years of marriage for me and my wife. And we think about these things, and you don't think about it in this way, that this metaphor that he put, they were in a canoe built for two. They are going down, and they had it in their mind that we're going to go and we're going to tackle the Yellow River together. We're going to make this grandiose adventure. And in their adventure, it starts out as a beautiful day. And then all of a sudden, the rains came. Then the waters got rough. The rapids got rough. They hit rocks. And it just reminded me of the metaphor in marriage that your boat will get rocked. Yeah, I don't care who you are. I don't care. When you bring in two people who are different and mean different ways, your boat's going to get rocked at some point. Sometimes there are going to be some hardships. Sometimes there are going to be some disagreements. Sometimes there are going to be some pain. Sometimes there are going to be some struggle. And it may seem like it's unsurmountable. But the good news is, and that I got from this, and the shout that I got from it was, is that this couple in the canoe learned to work together. One would paddle and the other would use the oar to push away the rocks. They worked together, and it ain't always blissful. But the shout is that once they navigate the trouble, the sun came out and the waters calmed, and they enjoyed the rest of the ride. And my shout is the mere principle that they stayed in the boat. Yeah, and that's for anybody. Your praise break is stay in the boat. The waters are going to get rough. There are going to be times where you want to give up. There are going to be days that you want to quit. There are going to be disagreements that almost drive both of you apart. But if you work together, one is going to do the rowing. Maybe one is doing the praying for the other one, and one is pushing away whatever the devil is throwing your way. The other one is trying to get the elements away from the marriage, and then the other one is rowing, and the one keeping the canoe afloat and keeping it going in the right direction. And eventually, you'll find that the waters will calm, sun will shine. And I thought that that was a great metaphor for worship, and something that I can attest to in almost 29 years, is that we stayed in the boat. Stay in the boat. That's for somebody. All right, let me get to our message for today. Well, Pastor is in a new series. If you missed yesterday, I admonish anyone that is watching to go back and make sure you are watching our services. He is in a new series entitled Money Matters. Money Matters. Yesterday he preached from 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 10, with a reference to 6, 17 through 19. And that message was entitled For the Love of. And so what I'd like to do as always is partner with that message, Emmanuel Everywhere, as a help for us. It also goes out on YouTube as a continuous help of giving us multiple scriptures, multiple things to look at, that you would just have it in your spirit so that when he's preaching, we can attain everything that we're getting, because we've had many perspectives on the subject of money. And so out of his key scripture, I'll give you that scripture, 1 Timothy 6, 6, chapter 6, 9 and 10, as an accent to the key text today. And that is, but people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. That was his text from yesterday, for the love of. And for your pairing today, I want to pair two scriptures for you today to highlight. Proverbs 18, 10 through 12, and Luke 12 and 21, just one verse. Proverbs 18, 10 through 12 says this: The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. The rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety. Haughtiness goes before destruction, and humility precedes honor. That's Proverbs 18, 10 through 12. And then finally, Luke 12 and 21, Jesus says these words: Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. So, for a few moments, I want to talk to you with this subject in mind: monetary misguidance. Monetary misguidance. As we join with Pastor on this journey of understanding money matters, it's important that you have all the scriptures highlighted that give us insight into God's view about it. You need all the ammo, everything that we can use. Jesus often used examples in metaphor of the rich and the poor. As Pastor shared in the text from Timothy, money is in fact not stated to be the root of all evil. That is often a misquote of the Bible. It's not the money that is the root of all kinds of evil. It is the love of it, which is said before that statement and is often omitted when that is quoted. Yes, indeed, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. There are people that have made money their God. There are people that have put their money at places above God. And the danger in doing so is that that person may think that they are building something that's big and grandiose, as the text would suggest, but it's actually being built with poor material. And as it's a building that might last on earth, but will net nothing in heaven, which is a place where we'll all have to live longer. Should we make it there? Money. I can look into this camera and say clearly to you today that I have never loved a dollar above the divine deliverer. Yeah, I've never loved money above my master. Watching people that I was raised, when I was raised, I was watching people who did more with less because of the God we serve. Yeah, I got to give shout outs. You know, I'm gonna give a shout out to my grandmother. I watched her do more with less because of God. My grandmother was a seamstress. She didn't make a lot of money, but all I know was every time I needed something for Easter, I needed a new Easter fit, I needed Christmas clothes, I needed Christmas toys, she always came up with it. She had it whenever she needed it. She was able to do more with less. I can even say that my father was able to do more with less. I can only account for a few times. And unfortunately, in our communities, it happened every now and then. Well, the lights got cut out. But for the most part, with the little salary that he made, lights always came on, always had the money to be able to keep the lights on. And then I could think about myself along my journey. I think I mentioned staying in the boat earlier as a praise break for me and my family. But I remember a time where all of the resources were not there. We didn't have enough to even take care of the things that we needed at that moment. Having a small baby and our water heater went out and other things happened. And we did not have those resources. But me not even knowing that a job that I left many years ago owed me money, and I go to the mailbox and it was enough money that was in there. At the moment I opened the mailbox, the money was there that I needed for me and my family. That is a testament to the God that I serve. And so there is this misguidance that people have about money. The misguidance that if I have more of it, I can do whatever I want, I can buy whatever I want. And that very well may be true. But the text suggests be careful. You may have all that money, but if you're not rich toward God, you are actually poor. There are some rich folk that are in the poorhouse spiritually. And so there are three insights that I want to give you today to help you not be misguided by either your quest for money or what you have stored up that may make you think that you don't need God from these texts. Yeah, there may be someone here who could even just testify. I know for myself that me trusting the Lord God has enabled me to do more with less. I don't put my money above who God is. I don't put wealth above my worship of Him. And so the first point is the fortress trumps the walls. Yeah, let's look at that text from Proverbs 18. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. Yeah, his name alone protects from all things, including resources that might be lacking. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. The next thing it says that the rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety, right? The fortress of his strong tower trumps the walls of your money. Yeah, I'd rather know that the fortress that I have, the name of the Lord, is enough for me to net all the benefits that come with being his child. And I need to let somebody know that the name of the Lord being a strong fortress and us running to him nets plenty of benefits. Oh, yes, it nets health, it nets healing, it nets us to know a way out of all of our when we're in a situation where there's no way out. us running into his fortress gives us safety. And it even gives us safety in the realm of things of wealth, things of money. He provides. He is a provider. When you're in his fortress, God takes care of everything that is his. Do I have a witness? He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you along the way and or all the way. God will take care of you. I'm a witness. He'll take care of you. And my shout is that he'll take care of you at times where it may appear that your trouble has hurt you so bad that you've abandoned him. But just because you don't call his name, you're still under the protection of his fortress because you belong to him and he still covers you. I'm so grateful that he covered me even when I had no faith in my situation where I didn't have my resources. I had no faith. I was done. I said, we don't have no money to get. I can't get money from nowhere. We are in need right now. And I recall as I stretched out my hand to the mailbox, God told me before I even opened the mailbox that there was resources in there. I knew somehow God was doing something before I even opened it. And when I opened it and I saw not one envelope, but two envelopes from a previous employer, I just stood at the mailbox and began to weep. I went back into the house weeping, praising God that God had delivered everything that I needed at the moment I needed. The fortress trumps the walls. I don't care who you are. The rich folk can put up all the walls they want, but I'd rather be under the protection of the Most High God. I'd rather be in or surrounded by his fortress that I can run to and be safe. Fortress trumps the wall. Second thing to help us with making sure that we don't have monetary misguidance is the fact that we all should realize you can be rich and still broke, and you can be broke and still rich. Oh, yeah. You can be rich and still broke, and you can be broke and still rich. I have seen people poor on paper be rich in heaven. Yeah, they didn't have it. My grandmother was poor on paper. But all I know is every time anyone seen or know her, she looked like $1 million. Yeah, she knew how to make things. It's something about being covered by the master that he makes everything you touch look better. That's why I don't compete with people, because you can't compete with people who are rich. You know what it is? Sometimes people hate on you because you look a certain way. I look the way I look because of the master, not because of me and not because of my money. That's what I learned from my grandmother. He makes everything look better. And sometimes people competing with you need to understand you ain't competing with me. I don't have it. But the one that owns a cattle of 1,000 hills has it. The one that woke me up this morning has it. The one that I worship and give praise to because there's nobody like him. He's the one that has it. And then I've seen people who are broke still be rich. And I've seen people who are rich still be broke. There are people who have money and they have all the money in the world, but they're not happy. All the resources, but can't enjoy it. All that they need in the bank is there, but somehow there is something missing. Because you can have all of that and be poor and broke in your spirit. Broke in your countenance, broke in your emotions, broke in depression, all that has no bearing, broke in your health. That's why Luke 12 and 21, Jesus says clearly, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. We must have a rich relationship with him. And then, even if you're poor, you're rich. Third thing is, when destruction comes, it can never cushion your fall. Yeah, if you built this in the wrong way, if you have gone about this building these walls instead of being under God's fortress, know what's coming. And we've seen it, celebrity after celebrity. Diddy's got all the money in the world, but it can't stop him from dealing with this fall that he's in. That's why that text says, pride goes before destruction. Money won't help you. So eventually, life will hand you what I call a stripped down whooping. Yeah, you ever had one of those? Now I got to talk to some people who from the old school when we got spankings growing up and it wasn't against the law to spank your kids. I recall a time I had to get a stripped down whooping because what I had done was I was used to conditioned to getting whooped. And so one day I made it upon myself that I'm going to put some extra padding in my clothes. So I put on three pair of pants. I put on a pair of shorts. I had all the means put on so that when I got whooped, it wouldn't hurt. And I remember my mom came in with the switch and she began to hit me. And me being dumb, instead of just acting like I was being beat and start crying, I started laughing because it wasn't hurting. And eventually my mother caught hold to the fact that I had on extra garments. And no matter what, I still had to endure the beating because she made me strip down. Woe unto those who have built riches without God. Eventually, you're going to get a stripped down whooping because everything that the devil gives, he eventually takes back. But everything that God gives, whoo, shout myself right now. Everything that God gives, he gives it and you are allowed not only to keep it, but to enjoy it. And it's okay for somebody under the Lord who belong to the Lord to have wealth. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with wealth. I don't believe pastors are going to preach anything that's going to say it's something wrong with wealth. But what I'm saying is when we have God, we don't put our riches above his name. So I'm going to close with this story. John G. Wendell and his sisters were some of the most miserly people of all times. Although they had received a huge inheritance from their parents, they spent very little of it and did all they could to keep their values and their wealth to themselves. John was able to influence five of his sisters to never get married. They lived in the same house in New York City for 50 years. When the last sister died in 1931, her estate was valued at more than $100 million. Her only dress was one that she had made herself, and she had worn it for 25 years. The Wendells had such a compulsion to hold their possessions that they lived like paupers. Even worse, they were like the kind of person Jesus referred to who lays up treasures for themselves and are not rich toward God. Yeah, there are people who have never been able to enjoy what God has given them. But for some reason, there are folk who think holding on to it will somehow keep them being wealthy instead of giving to others, instead of doing for others, instead of enjoying life, instead of being an inspiration to people, instead of using it to help, they'd rather hold. Well, I never had a whole lot, but I do know everything that I've been given, God gave. Everything that I have, God owns. And so, rich in him. Before I could even think about, being of wealth and everybody want to be wealthy. Oh, yeah, it's good. Pass it on. Generational wealth. Great thing. But if you are not making your family rich toward God, then you're creating broke people and people who will be broken by life. My own Never Love for Money song. I got my own Never Love for Money song. And it's this song that says, some folk would rather have houses and land. Some folk would rather choose silver and gold. These things they treasure, but forget about their souls. But I've decided to make Jesus, to make him my choice. Is there a witness today? His choice allows me to never have monetary misguidance because he guides me and my monetary. That's for somebody. His choice allows me to never have monetary misguidance because he guides me and my monetary. He makes my money go further. He provides in ways that I cannot. He keeps the moths and the things that can eat away and corrupt my money from happening. He's my choice. How about you? Nothing is bigger than him in my life. Nothing is better than him in my life. He keeps me rich, and I know that if you believe in him and you put him first, he'll keep you rich. Rich with love, rich with peace, rich with joy. And so what do you do with your monetary possessions? I dedicate it all to him because it's his anyway. And so what do? I live my life. It's not meant to not be enjoyed. Enjoy what you have. You retired? Enjoy the fact that you've been able to retire. But be careful. Never allow what you have in the bank to be greater than your joy of knowing that you bank in heaven. I bank with the master. And because I do, I don't have to worry about what I have down here. And even better than that, some glad morning when this life is over, I got another home, bigger than any home I could ever have down here, more beautiful than anything I could ever have down here, that's waiting for me. I'm rich in him. That's all I got for you today. Be rich in him. Be rich in him. If you can go into this series in any kind of way, know that your riches belong to him. Be rich in him. Nothing wrong with wealth, but don't put anything you have above God. Don't make it your God. Don't make it like you don't need him because you've got some money. No, I need him every day, every minute, every second, every hour. And then there are others who have found out that when you become sick, you don't even care about your money. All you want to do is get well. So I pray that that was for somebody as you kickstart this series. And we'll walk into some more things that I'm sure that I'll pair with the text that Pastor brings to give you more ammo. It's with these ammos that we know how to fight. So we continue to fight this battle with the enemy and even with ourselves, right? Because sometimes it's just us in the way and our thought process. And so I pray that was for somebody. And if not, we know that somebody's going to see it. It'll be for them. Maybe we're not the one. We don't have a problem with this, but there may be somebody who is watching right now that may have needed to hear that. And that's what God does it for. All right. Let me look at the chat, see what we got. And if any special prayer requests, now is the time. Let's put it in. Put it in. We're looking for special prayer requests. We are on a hiatus from Wednesday, but we'll be back. And we do have some new programming. And I just met with the Women's Everywhere. I had a conversation with the Women's Everywhere leader, Sister Anderson, and I know that there's some things that they want to partner with us on as well. I see you, Tamika. Tamika made it. She was her and her family were badgering me yesterday, but it's all on Saturday, but it's all good. You get to see me, Tamika, so I'm here. And so we definitely have the Women's Everywhere. We want to get them immersed into how they can do some things. And if Emmanuel Everywhere can help them, then we will do that. So put your prayer requests in, and we will go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. I see praying for your cousin with a stroke, Cousin Bernie. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Oh, I see something, another prayer. Prayer for Sylvia Walker, who is in hospice care, daughter of Yvette Glasgow. Okay. Hospice care. Amen. I know that we also pray for lawn man. Oh, your lawn man. Sister Walker's praying for her lawn man. On his toes. Okay, man. Amen. All right. We're also praying for Sister Willie McCoy, one of our great leaders of our church, who's also going needing prayer for surgery. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's close out this night. Father in heaven, we come to you right now, God, thanking you for this day. God, if we've never surveyed our bodies on today, the fact that our eyes were open because of you, the fact that we moved our legs over the bed because of you, the fact that we made it out through this day up until this point because you allowed it to be so. And if we didn't say thank you today for that, we say thank you right now. God, we thank you that you've always provided us resources. You've always been an on-time God. The fact that we have run to you and been protected by your fortress, God, we can praise you all day that you put a hedge of protection around us, hedge of protection around our families. And God, we stand grateful. And you've even put a hedge of protection around our resources. And for that, we stand grateful. Now, God, we ask that you look into your hearts of your people, those special prayer requests that were spoken. For Sister Sylvia Walker, who's in the middle of hospice right now, God, we pray that you would touch her body in the name of Jesus. God, we know that you can even heal when the doctors have said there's nothing that can be done. But God, we pray right now that you would continue to be with her family, be with her mother, Sister Glasgow, God, and we pray that you would continue to keep them as only you can. God, we lift up Cousin Bernie, who has been afflicted with a stroke, God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would allow him to come out of that with no adverse reactions, God. We pray that we know that you can reverse whatever we've done to our bodies, God. And so, God, we call upon your strong and mighty name. We pray that you would touch him, that the rehabilitation might be good, that he might make a full recovery and be a miracle walking, that you can make this another stone in his testimony. God, we pray for Sister Watkins Lawnman, who had his toes amputated. God, we pray right now that even in the midst of this, God, that you would allow him to still be able to earn the living that he desires to learn. We pray for continued healing, God, and we pray that you touch him, God. But we know you can allow him to continue doing those things that may seem impossible because of his loss, like he had them all along. So, God, we pray for that. And, God, all those other special prayer requests that were lifted that we may have missed, certainly you know it before we can even ask it, and we give them over to you. Touch us from as a church, God, and continue to walk with us, that we may continue to be a place that's doing something special. Touch us from the leadership of our pastor to our lowest lay member. We pray that you would allow us to be about your business in these last and evil days. God, touch your people, wherever they may be, whatever they stand in need of. God, we lift up Sister McCoy to you, God, going into surgery. God, we pray that you would continue to keep your arms around her, God, and touch those who are going to be doing the operation and those who are going to be in the room and the anesthesiologist. And God, we pray for her. We already see her in the recovery room. So God, we pray that you would just continue to grant your healing and restoration upon her. And God, for anyone else, God, we know that you know before we can ask. Be with them today, God. Help us to make sure that we don't have any monetary misguidance, that we only have your guidance. And your guidance gives us everything we need. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everyone. God bless you guys, and we'll see you again soon. Have a good rest of your week. And may God continue to bless and keep you and your resources. God bless.